33-year-old male found dead a few days ago. Someone amongst them is our killer.
On a winter's evening in the seaside resort of Blackpool, smoke was billowing down a back alley into the night sky.
The smoke had alerted neighbours who shared the alleyway. A number of people had gone to investigate, and one of the neighbours indeed put the fire out using a bucket of water.
As the fire died down, the group of neighbours got their first glimpse of what was being consumed by the flames.
At first, it was thought that it was a mannequin that was on fire. Once the flames were out, they discovered it was actually the body of a young woman.
When the police arrived, they immediately realised they were dealing with a murder so horrific, the only way to identify the victim's body would be through DNA.
Any other sort of identification wasn't possible, because of the injuries.
As detectives began their investigation, one family was searching the streets for their 16-year-old daughter, who had not arrived home after work. As the night drew on, it appeared the two mysteries could be tragically linked, and the appalling discovery in that Blackpool alleyway was about to pull one family apart.
It's like a nightmare, and I'm going to wake up any time and everything's going to be normal. But nothing will ever be normal again.
Blackpool, one of Britain's favourite seaside resorts. Every year, millions of people visit the coastal town. In 2004, the Marsden family moved from Bolton to Steyning, a village nestled outside the bustling resort. Their youngest daughter, Sasha, was 8 years old at the time.
One scene never forgotten, definitely. Sasha was cheeky, definitely no angel, even from being young. She was never a shy little girl. Never. I mean, with having a lot of brothers and sisters, you can't afford to be shy, I don't think. She could also be a bit of a wind-up merchant with her brothers and sisters. With her being the youngest, I think she tend to got away with a lot more than what her brothers and sisters did as well.
How many times have you been told you should ask?
I shouldn't have to ask, she's only my sister.
All the time in the world for her friends, but didn't want to be seen anywhere near mum and dad. I expected everything done, and Dad, will you take me here? Dad, can you take me there? Dad, can you pick me up from here? Just wanted to be out with the friends all the time, and every household's got rules, and it was a case of if we said you have to be in for 9 o'clock, well, all my friends stay out till 10 o'clock, and, well, we want you in for 9 o'clock, that's it. So always trying to push the boundaries. On the other side, if she could do anybody a favour and help anybody out, or if anybody had a problem, she would be there, she'd help him out if she possibly could.
Hi. She was a great friend, and she was always there for you and making you laugh when you didn't want to and making you smile when you didn't want to.
Like, if you were sad, and then she'd let you get your problems out, and that's it. She'd be like, right, change of subject, and she'd do anything to try and cheer you off.
When I was 13, my mum walked out on me, and she stuck up for me. I was in a bad way, and she was the only one that helped me, mainly. She was always there for me, for every little thing.
It'll be all right.
I could always count on her.
Fiercely loyal, there was also never a dull moment when Sasha was around.
She loved dancing. She didn't care where she was. If she heard music, that was it. She was off.
Oh, my God, I love this song. You've got to dance with me, dance with me!
OK. Not again. No. Literally just, like, walking through the town and she heard music, she started dancing. Even if, like, a car went past and had music on, she'd start dancing.
Sasha was crazy. She was smart and funny. She was that sort of person you'd be in a bad mood all day and, like, you'd spend 5 minutes with her and that's it, you were over the moon.
By the time she was 14, Sasha preferred the bright lights of Blackpool to village life.
Her friends from school weren't from the village, so she was more round where they are because there's nothing at all in Steyning for teenagers, nothing at all.
In July 2010, the teenager headed into Blackpool with one of her friends.
After school, Sasha went down with a friend who's a year younger than her. They went down to the park.
As that summer evening drew on, Sasha's family could never have imagined that it was a night their lives would change forever.
It was about 8:30 and Sasha was due in at 9 o'clock. And we got a phone call from the police to say that they had Sasha at Brisbane Police Station. And I'm thinking, what's she done?
The police revealed the teenagers had met a 22-year-old man and he had attacked Sasha.
They told us that she'd been that she'd been raped.
Following the devastating revelation, Jane Marsden learned the details of how her daughter had been hideously abused.
They went down to the park where they met this person who was giving them alcohol, vodka.
It's true.
What is
it?
I
like you.
She'd only just turned 14 and she wasn't used to drinking alcohol. Sasha was unconscious on the floor. And then he started to have sex with Sasha. The friend that was with her was really, really scared and he said to his mum he couldn't do anything because he was too little to help Sasha.
Thankfully, two passers-by came to Sasha's rescue.
What's going on over there? And the police?
They'd seen what he was actually doing to Sasha, so they came down and pulled him off Sasha and contacted the police.
The two strangers intervened and stopped Sasha's rapist. He was arrested at the park. But the teenager's horrific ordeal was far from over. In July 2010, 14-year-old Sasha Marsden had gone to the park after school with a friend. They met a 22-year-old man who gave her alcohol. When she was intoxicated and barely conscious, he raped her. Her attacker was arrested and sentenced to 5 years and 4 months in prison. But the horrific ordeal of the rape continued to traumatise the young teenager.
It affected her really, really badly. She went from being a trusting little girl into a very, very angry teenager.
While Sasha struggled to come to terms with her attack, she found the rape made her a target at school.
She was being bullied and not nice things being said about her and name-calling. Somebody actually set up a Facebook page saying she deserved to be raped.
She struggled quite a bit. There were times where she'd skip school.
We transferred her school, but she just never ever settled back into school. She kind of went through like a wild stage.
Like many victims of rape, Sasha struggled in the aftermath of her ordeal.
She put herself at a lot of risks.
After the attack, she'd go out and she'd get drunk, like, near enough every night.
She went on and then had a sexual relationship, like, with quite a few different boys. But I think it was just a case that she wanted a different image in her head than the one that she obviously had. She was self-harming.
Research into the effects of rape shows some victims behave in a very similar way to Sasha.
The person begins to believe themselves to be damaged goods, and one of the things that they may then do is their behaviour might change to actually fit into their inner belief about themselves, that they are not good, that they're not worthy, that they don't deserve respect.
And when things got too much for Sasha, she would simply disappear.
She ran away about 4 times within 1 month.
You're always thinking, has somebody got her? Is it going to happen again?
Where have you been?
Sasha, we've been worried sick.
July,
I'm fine. You're absolutely petrified. You know, she'd been running away from home. We just used to drive round Blackpool looking for Sasha. Just walking round, looking and hoping that you see her.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
The police was always brilliant, always brought Sasha back home. 99% of the time, we would find her ourselves.
In 2012, 16-year-old Sasha started seeing a local boy called Danny, who was 2 years older than her.
Didn't really know Danny too well because up till that point they was just seeing each other when they was out. Danny'd been here a few times for tea, but you don't really get to know the kind of person they are.
On the 31st of August, Sasha and Danny had plans to meet in Blackpool, on the understanding they met up with Sasha's parents after the date.
When she went out socialising with her friends, we dropped her off and we always picked her up to try and keep her safe.
However, as the evening drew on, there was no word from Sasha.
Sasha's phone was switched off, she wasn't answering her phone. And then that night we reported her missing to the police. I didn't know where my daughter was. Didn't matter how many times she'd been missing. There's still the concern and the fear that something bad's happened.
The hours turned to days, and Sasha's family feared the worst. Finally, 2 days after Sasha's disappearance, the phone rang.
Hello?
I got a phone call from Sasha saying she wasn't in Blackpool anymore.
I'm fine. I just want you to know I'm OK and that I'm not coming home.
Sasha had run away with her boyfriend. She was 300 miles away in Lowestoft.
I was concerned for my daughter. I don't know that part of the country, but she was too far away from home for me to be like, I was only 16 and still very vulnerable.
By moving away with her boyfriend, it's the opportunity to start a new life, to actually have a new narrative, a life in which the rape is not the predominant thing. And that would have been very alluring.
Sasha was convinced to come home, but on one condition, her boyfriend Danny could move in with her family.
I just wanted my daughter home and safe. And if Danny had to come with her to get her home, it was just a sacrifice I had to make.
Almost by the parents accepting the boyfriend and allowing him to move in would be to say, we believe both in him and in you, that you can turn your life around.
A week after the disappearance, her dad went to collect the couple.
Hiya, Dad.
Is that all you got to say?
Sorry.
We spoke about it and she didn't want to... She regretted doing it in the end because she knew how much it worried us all.
I was very, very relieved to have her home. Angry at what she'd put me through, but just pleased to have her home and know that she was safe.
And after a tumultuous 2 years, this seemed to be a turning point for Sasha. In September 2012, she enrolled at a local college.
She got on the childcare course at college, buckled down and decided that she wanted to make something of her life, and that was to work with children.
Sasha thrived on her new course, and it seemed as if things were looking up for the 16-year-old.
She was getting on an even keel and wanted to make something of herself, wanting to do something and not letting what had happened to her hold her back.
Sasha appeared much more content with her life and began to think about earning some spending money.
Sasha had decided she did want a part-time job. She wanted to have a little bit of independence, and it wasn't always banker mum and dad, because banker mum and dad didn't always have.
In January 2013, a friend of a friend invited Sasha to apply for a job.
Got a job interview.
Where?
Hotel in town, part-time cleaner.
Wasn't happy because you hear about all kinds going on and with young girls in hotels, wasn't happy at all.
I don't know about that one.
But Sasha was keen to convince them.
But it fits perfect. It fits around college. It's only part-time.
Sasha reassured me and said she were fine. There'd be nothing like that going on. It was one of her friend's mate's hotel and she'd be OK.
You can go, but I take you and I pick you up.
She said she was going for a trial on the Monday to see if she was suitable. Everywhere Sasha went, her dad took her and collected her afterwards anyway.
That's the conditions. You're not going on your own.
All right.
What time?
So the following day, Sasha's dad drove her into Blackpool.
Get a move on. Come on. What do you like?
Sasha did not know the exact location of the hotel and had arranged to meet the manager on the high street.
He dropped Sasha off on the main road because Sasha didn't know that part of Blackpool, so they'd arranged a meeting place.
It's fine, all right.
An hour and a half later, Sasha contacted her dad to come and collect her from the place he had dropped her off.
Hi, love. Well?
It went really good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What happened?
She said she'd made a couple of beds up. She hadn't really done that much cleaning, and they'd had a brew and just talked. She also had £10 that he'd given her, so she was quite happy at having £10 for not doing so much.
Well done, you.
She was pleased and was looking forward to starting a job on the Thursday.
You never told me you got any money.
You're not getting money for rent.
I was really, really happy for him that she had finally come round the corner and she was looking forward to the future and she had a future.
The day that Sasha was due to start work began like any other Thursday.
Sasha, are you ready?
Most mornings I spent screaming and shouting, telling her to get up, she's going to be late for college.
What are you doing? Your dad's waiting.
And before she left, give me a kiss, love you, see you later.
Love you.
It was just a normal day.
Late again.
It's all right.
Whilst at college, Sasha was given some good news.
Sasha?
Yeah? That day, her tutor actually progressed her ahead to the next level because she was doing so well.
So you were natural.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
After college, Sasha's dad picked her up and took her to work. He dropped her at the same place as when she had her interview and arranged to collect her later.
Wish me luck.
Good luck.
All right, bye.
Bye.
She said to her dad she'd message him when she'd finished, same as she had done on the Monday.
Back at home, the Marsdens waited for Sasha's message to collect her from work.
It was getting on and we'd not heard nothing from Sasha. So Gary messaged her. She never answered her dad's messages. I said, you know, ring her. It went straight to answer phone and thought, well, she must be, you know, like, really, really busy at work.
It's gone for voicemail.
There was no word from Sasha. The Marsdens were waiting so they could have their family meal together. But tea time came and went.
No, I'll just dish up.
We was all getting really, really hungry. There was no answer from Sasha. Her phone was turned off. It was just going straight to answer phone.
Although Sasha was not responding to her dad's messages and calls, the family were confident that she would be home by 8 o'clock.
Sasha had arranged to go to a party with her boyfriend that evening at around 8:30.
We'd still not heard anything from Sasha. Knew that she had plans that night, so it was she wouldn't have been out all that time.
8 o'clock passed with no sign of Sasha. She had stood up her boyfriend when they had plans, and her phone was switched off. Two things Sasha would not usually do. By now, her family were concerned and decided to try and find Sasha. The obvious first place to look was the hotel where she had started working.
Up until this point, the family had never actually been to the hotel where Sasha was working, so they didn't know where it was in Blackpool, only where it was near to.
Sasha's dad had always dropped her on the High Street in the South Shore area of Blackpool, where there were almost 100 hotels. And so to find out exactly where Sasha was working, Jane Marsden turned detective.
I said to Danny, do you know Sasha's Facebook password? And he said yes.
Do you know Sasha's password?
Although the family were unsure of the name of the hotel, Sasha's boyfriend knew that the man who offered her the cleaning job was someone called David.
As luck would have it, there was only two people on Sasha's friends called David. One of them was Danny's friend as well, so Danny knew it wasn't him.
The family needed the second David to be the one they were looking for.
That's him.
Yeah.
There's a picture of him outside the hotel.
And this David's profile page listed the address and telephone number of a hotel in Blackpool.
Tried ringing the hotel, didn't get any answer. So we drove down there in the car.
But at the hotel, there was no sign of Sasha.
I said, are you David? And he said, yeah. I said, I'm looking for Sasha. Is she here? He said, oh, she left ages ago. Right, she's meeting her dad at Madame Tussauds.
Madame Tussauds?
It appeared Sasha had left work hours ago. The teenager had gone missing in the past, but something about her behaviour this time just didn't ring true.
He just said that she'd left ages ago.
Because she'd been missing numerous times before, I wasn't overly concerned, but it was out of character, especially when her boyfriend's at home and she's not seen him all day because she's been at college. Didn't seem like something that Sasha would do.
Despite having no idea where she was, Sasha's family continued their search.
Tried, you know, different addresses of Sasha's friends and Danny's friends, and nobody'd seen her, nobody'd heard from her.
Running out of places to look, the Marsdens returned home and continued the search for their missing daughter.
Came back and phoned the hospital to make sure she'd not been admitted to hospital. Danny tried messaging her over Facebook, asking a few friends over Facebook, have you seen Sasha? Nobody had seen her, nobody had heard from her.
Sasha had vanished without a trace. By 11 o'clock, which was Sasha's evening curfew, her family were worried sick and had only one option left.
Hello, I'd like to report a missing person.
By 11 o'clock, if she'd been out, she'd be due to be home, and she still hadn't come home. That's when we phoned the police.
They're going to send someone around.
That's good.
It was only about 15, 20 minutes later that the police police were here. And it was two plainclothes officers, you know, never thought nothing of it. They came in and took some of Sasha's personal details off us, her height, what she was wearing. One of the police officers kept apologising and kept having to go outside and then kept coming back in.
Sorry about this.
After talking to Sasha's family for 20 minutes, the detective once again stepped out of the room. Upon returning, the officer delivered the news every family dreads.
They then informed us that there'd been a body found and they believed it to be Sasha.
And no one could have imagined the sheer horror the police had uncovered. On the 31st of January 2013, 16-year-old Sasha Marsden had started working part-time at a Blackpool hotel. As evening turned into night and Sasha failed to get in contact with her family, her parents checked the hotel where she worked, but were told that she had left hours ago.
Well, she went to meet her dad at Madame T's house.
Unable to locate their daughter, her frantic parents called the police.
Hello, I'd like to report a missing person.
Who broke the devastating news that they may have found the teenager's body.
We have found her body and we've reason to believe it's Sasha.
I was convinced it wasn't her. She was going to walk through the door and it couldn't be Sasha. Because things like that happen to other families, they don't happen to us.
Unknown to the Marsden family, the body believed to be Sasha's had been found hours earlier when a fire was discovered in a Blackpool alleyway.
The smoke had alerted neighbours who shared the alleyway and a number of people had gone to investigate.
Looks like someone set a mannequin on fire.
Until they saw blood, which is when they realised it was a body and the police were called.
Police attended and very quickly discovered that what was first of all considered to be a mannequin was in fact the dead body of a young woman.
The first lead into the identity of the body came when the Marsdens reported Sasha missing at 11 p.m. that evening.
They're going to send someone round.
2 hours earlier, officers had been called to the alleyway and discovered the body.
It was only at that point that the police were beginning to suspect that this deceased young woman in the back alley was in fact the missing teenager. Every parent's nightmare, really.
We have found a body, and we have reason to believe it's Sasha.
From the description and information Sasha's family had given to the police about their daughter and her whereabouts, the detectives were confident that the body in the alleyway was the teenager's.
A lot of it is a blur, and It's like a nightmare and I'm going to wake up any time and everything's going to be normal. But nothing will ever be normal again.
What do you mean? Reason to believe?
Is it Sasha or isn't it?
Because of the state of Sasha's body, they had to confirm it through DNA. We couldn't go and view Sasha and couldn't go and physically identify her.
The teenager's toothbrush was taken to obtain a DNA sample to formally verify the victim was Sasha. But the alleyway where the body was found was also crucial in determining its identity.
The location of where Sasha was found was extremely important. She was found in the alleyway behind the hotel where she'd been working that day.
I always pick her up.
As well as giving the police a description of their daughter, Sasha's parents also told them about her new job and that when they were looking for her, they went to the hotel where she worked and spoke to David Minto, the man who hired her.
And Sasha's mum, is she here?
No, she left ages ago.
The reality was, at that time, Sasha's body had been just a few feet away in the alley behind the hotel. The police now had a suspect.
The police officers informed us that they already had David Minto in custody.
Detectives discovered the hotel was owned by David Minto's girlfriend and her mother. 22-year-old David Minto lived and worked there as a handyman. it would appear that he had been the only person at the hotel when Sasha arrived for work. His girlfriend didn't return until 9 p.m.
Hiya. Hey, all right.
His first comments to his girlfriend was, before you say anything, I've been cleaning up because I had a nosebleed. She did notice the smell of cleaning fluids, and I think it was a very unusual thing that Mr. Minto did any cleaning on a voluntary basis.
As well as running the hotel, David Minto's girlfriend had a part-time job and so was out of the hotel on Monday and Thursday afternoons. It also became apparent that she had no idea her boyfriend had just hired a cleaner to work on those days.
His girlfriend didn't know that Sasha Marsden had been in the hotel that day and that she'd also been in the hotel 3 days before at Minto's invitation.
Since it was the winter, David Minto and his girlfriend were the only two people living at the hotel. It was closed for renovation and there was no need for a cleaner. It was also a vacancy handyman David Minto had no authority to fill. So it begged the question, why had he offered the teenager a part-time job on the days he knew his girlfriend wouldn't be home until 9 p.m?
David Minto, I'm arresting you on the suspicion of the murder of Sasha Marsden.
Whilst in custody, David Minto claimed that he was not responsible for killing Sasha Marsden.
He decided, which is his right, to give his account on a prepared statement. And in that statement, he accepted for the first time that Sasha had been to the hotel, that she had thrown herself at him in a sexual way, that they'd had some sexual contact. And almost immediately after this sexual contact, she'd had a nosebleed, which he'd helped her to clear up. And then she'd left. And he didn't see her again. And that he was very sorry if the body found at the back of the hotel was Sasha Marsden.
Tragically, 2 days later, on the 3rd of February 2013, the DNA results formally confirmed the identity of the body.
We've had the results back.
If I'm totally and utterly honest, even though they confirmed it was Sasha through DNA, I was still, for a good few months later, looking round and if I seen a girl with the same colour of hair as Sasha in the same build, I was looking. Because I never got to say goodbye.
Everything was just numb. Didn't feel real at all.
It just didn't want to believe it, honestly. No one wants to believe it, do they, when they get told something like that?
When I found out that she'd gone, it proper destroys you inside, knowing that you're not going to see her again.
I'd have given my own life for, you know, for Sasha, for still be here.
Along with the DNA confirmation, the post-mortem revealed the true horror of how Sasha had died. The 16-year-old had been murdered in the most violent and brutal way imaginable.
She was stabbed 56 times to the head and to the back of her neck, and there were also at least 9 defensive injuries around her hands and her arms.
To stab somebody 56 times suggests not only a high level of sadism, but also a high level of anger, a high level of frustration, a misogyny against females.
Judging by the injuries that she sustained to her arms and her hands, she fought for her life, and she lost that fight. It was a totally brutal way to die.
Sasha's family were also confronted with the horrible reality that their daughter had also been sexually assaulted.
Sasha's body was violated when she was either dead or dying, and that's quite apparent from the pathologist's finding.
It's kind of just harrowing to think that's what, you know, that's what your child went through.
The way that body was defiled after she died, and the way it was disposed of like a piece of rubbish in the back alleyway. It's dreadful. It's tragic, doesn't even begin to describe it.
I could never imagine any human being doing something so horrible.
While Sasha's family was faced with every parent's nightmare, the police investigation at the hotel confirmed it was the location where the teenager had lost her life. And the forensic evidence overwhelmingly reinforced the case against David Minto.
There was an awful lot of blood recovered from the hotel, which meant that it could be identified as Sasha. David Minto's clothing contained traces of her blood, both the clothing that he wore when he met her that afternoon to the clothing that he was arrested in, which was different. There was blood on a knife recovered in the kitchen, and that was confirmed by the pathologist to be the likely murder weapon. We found her necklace in the bathroom and the back of one of her earrings in the toilet.
Still in custody, David Minto continued to maintain he had not murdered the teenager. Detectives began to find out all they could about the man accused of the sadistic killing.
He was a loner. He'd had some minor learning difficulties at school. He didn't make friends easily. His girlfriend, he met her over the internet. Really, he lived his life online.
David Minto was charged with Sasha's murder on the 3rd of February 2013, 3 days after he was arrested. On the 15th of July 2013, 6 months after the tragic murder of 16-year-old Sasha Marsden, the trial began at Preston Crown Court. 22-year-old David Minto pleaded not guilty.
Sometimes I didn't want to be in court, so I stepped outside while that certain part of the trial was going on. The hardest thing for me to see was the CCTV footage of Sasha walking with him to the hotel, all smiling and happy and not occurring the world. And obviously there's no CCTV footage of her coming out because she never came out. And that was really, really hard to see.
The CCTV footage showed Sasha's final footsteps. When David Minto took to the stand, he maintained his innocence, reiterating the version of events he outlined when he was initially arrested.
His account in his cross-examination was that Sasha had come to the hotel to clean.
I have some cleaning job.
That they had sexual contact. He never went into any detail about what that was. She had left, and he then went upstairs to continue cleaning. And he heard a noise. He came downstairs and discovered Sasha's body.
Sasha?
He panicked. He took her downstairs to his bathroom, washed her body because he didn't know what else to do. And he then took her outside. He couldn't say he hadn't wrapped her up because the carpet and underlay and so on were from the hotel, so he'd wrapped her and left her outside. And he also denied that he'd set fire to her.
But David Minto's testimony raised as many questions as he attempted to answer.
He was asked, well, was he afraid when he saw the dead body? And he was surprised at the question, it seemed to me. It didn't seem to occur to him that what he was actually saying was that there was some mad person, knife-wielding mad person, at large in the hotel.
Although he was claiming someone else killed Sasha, David Minto never behaved as if his own life could be in danger.
That was the obvious conclusion to his account. And it never occurred to him to ring the police, to run outside, to get as far away as he possibly could. It was so implausible, it was laughable, if it wasn't such a tragedy.
David Minto's testimony seemed to be an elaborate attempt to explain the overwhelming case against him. In stark contrast, the evidence the prosecution presented created a compelling and disturbing timeline of events leading to Sasha's tragic death, starting with the day that Minto contacted Sasha via Facebook and offered her a job 4 days before her murder.
From looking at Facebook conversations between Sasha and David, It became clear that he was very keen for her to arrive at the hotel alone. He told her that other people made him a bit nervous. He was making arrangements to make sure she knew that she was to be alone when she arrived at the hotel.
And he told Sasha she should come on a Monday and on a Thursday because those were the days that were most convenient for him. And they were also, coincidentally, the days that his girlfriend was out at work all day. He lured her to come on her own at a time when the hotel was empty.
Alone in an empty hotel, Sasha was violently attacked by Minto.
We believe that between 4 and 5, that Sasha met her death. That she was stabbed in the hotel with a kitchen knife, stabbed many, many times. She was then taken downstairs to the basement flat.
As Sasha actually lay dying, she was sexually defiled and assaulted.
Put Sasha's body in the bath. We know that because of the blood traces that were found in the bath, and he washed her body.
After such a frenzied attack and assault, there would have been a ghastly crime scene.
It was a very bloody, very brutal murder. He had a lot of cleaning up to do, and that's what he attempted to do. In a further attempt to extinguish any sort of forensic evidence that could link him to Sasha at around 7 o'clock, it must have been about that time, was to take her body outside. It was dark, it was January, and set it alight.
Sasha's parents visited the hotel. They were told by David Minto that she left hours ago. It's shocking to think that at that time, Sasha's body was just around the back of that hotel.
It seems that David Minto wanted to make people notice the body in the alleyway and show off his heinous crime.
What's going on?
Looks like somebody's set a mannequin on fire.
He was tremendously curious about this mannequin, and he tried to draw in other people to be as curious as he was to look at the body.
Mannequins don't bleed, mate.
He did the same with his girlfriend when she came home from work, took her round to the back alley to have a look at this mannequin. And credit to her, she was concerned. She didn't think it was a mannequin. And it was her, ironically, it was her phone call to the police that brought them round to the back alleyway.
And the prosecution believed there was only one clear motive behind Sasha's murder.
There was no other motivation for getting Sasha round than to try it on with her. And if she resisted, then to force her into having sexual relations with him. And he obviously reinforced those requests with a weapon.
Having been raped 2 years earlier, she would not have wanted that to happen again, so would have fought to the absolute nth degree.
She had no chance of defending herself against a man of Minto's stature and build.
And what he did to her, it's just... he deserves right in hell, he really does.
As the court case progressed, the prosecution called a witness, a young woman. Like Sasha, she too had been lured to the hotel, but she had survived to tell her story. In July 2013, 22-year-old David Minto stood trial, accused of the murder of 16-year-old Sasha Marsden. The prosecution believed he had lured her to the hotel he lived in with the promise of a job. Once there, he repeatedly stabbed her with a kitchen knife before raping her. At the trial, it became clear that Sasha was not the first victim David Minto had enticed to the hotel.
During the trial, a 22-year-old woman was called to the stand.
How do you know David Minto?
I met him at college in 2006.
She also knew David Minto's girlfriend, and it was clear that when she did visit the hotel, that she also expected the girlfriend to be there as well. And she wasn't. It was just herself and Mr. Minto.
No, it's just you and me.
As with Sasha, David Minto arranged that the 22-year-old woman visit the hotel on a Thursday. A day he had the hotel to himself and knew he would not be disturbed.
they went on a tour of the hotel, which ended in David Minto's bedroom. She said how she'd sat uncomfortably on the bed with him and felt uneasy that something was going to happen.
When's your girlfriend getting home?
It's about good ages.
Her intuition was correct.
And he very quickly started to make advances towards her to try and kiss her. And she wasn't interested.
She told the court how she'd managed to push him away from her. However, he tried again.
I think he persisted to such an extent that the young woman thought that she would be better leaving. And that's what she did. And she was able to rebuff him and to get out of that hotel in one piece.
The chilling incident took place just 3 weeks before Sasha's murder.
This first victim would have been a practice run, a dummy run, as a way of making sure that all factors were in place for when he targeted Sasha.
The only difference was with Sasha, there was no saying no because David Minto had a knife.
It was revealed in court that Sasha had actually met David Minto once in Blackpool towards the end of 2012 through a mutual friend. Minto sent Sasha a friend request on Facebook a few weeks later, shortly after he lured the other victim to the hotel and she rejected him.
When he initially contacted her, she had no idea who he was. He had to explain. So he hadn't struck a chord with her at all when she first met him.
Sasha accepted Minto's friend request on the 27th of January 2013. 4 days later, she was dead.
Sasha Marsden was lured to her death on the promise of a fictional job.
On the 26th of July 2013, the jury returned with their verdict. It took them less than 3 hours to find David Minto guilty of Sasha Marsden's murder.
As soon as the guilty verdict came in, I then turned around and looked at him. And I didn't take my eyes off him then until he was sentenced and he was sent down.
David Minto was sentenced to life imprisonment to serve a minimum of 35 years.
There was no reaction as he went down to start his life sentence at all, just as there hadn't been any emotion throughout the trial.
There's not a shred of common humanity in you.
Before sentencing Minto to life in prison, the judge said he had shown a complete absence of remorse for the crime he had committed and said he was a very dangerous and evil man.
People like David Minto are incredibly dangerous in not showing overt signs of his fantasy world, of his sadistic desires, of his brutality. They are often under the radar.
Take him down.
Just put us through hell. I hate him. Absolutely detest him. Just what he's robbed us of.
In 2014, David Minto attempted to reduce his 35-year sentence. He did not attempt to appeal the guilty verdict. The judge rejected his request, saying he had not been sentenced a day too long. Meanwhile, Sasha's parents face the rest of their lives without their daughter.
He's robbed us of the scene of marriage, grandchildren, a career, and just robbed us of a life. It's like just as her life was back on track after what had happened to her when she was 14. And it just robbed us. It just robbed us of us and her of any future.
I've been to that hotel. I went about 4 or 5 days after the murder. And it felt a very dark place. And the dark, narrow corridor where Sasha met her death, there was no opportunity of escape. There was no escape route. She was trapped. And as a mum, I couldn't help but think how utterly terrified she must have been. And that will remain with me. It's awful.
It's knowing that basically he tortured my daughter. Tortured her to death, And then, as she's dying, just had sex with her for his own sexual gratification. How can you forgive? You can't forgive anybody for doing that. And you'll never, ever get over it.